This is Into the Story, the podcast where you learn English with true stories from all over the world. Stories that connect us and inspire you to get where you want to go. Hello, everyone. It's Bree, your host. Now, if I were to ask you, what do you do? Then you would probably tell me your job title. And if I asked you, how do you do it? You could likely explain step by step. But what if I asked you, why? Why do you do what you do? Now, that's not only a more interesting question, it's also a lot more difficult to answer. Today, we're going into the story of Tiffany Claiborne. Tiffany is from Maryland, on the east coast of the United States, close to Washington, D.C. She grew up in a loving family that believed in working hard and following their Christian faith. Eventually, Tiffany got an opportunity to work at NASA.
I remember very clearly, like it was yesterday, like, okay, I'm doing great work here. I have great coworkers, a great boss, but I feel like I could do more.
Today, Tiffany shares her journey of leaving a career at NASA in search of her why. A journey that would eventually bring her to one of the most challenging things she's ever done in her life. Please make sure to click the follow button on your podcast app so that you never miss a new episode of the show. And as always, it's free. Now it's time to look at five words and expressions that Tiffany uses. The first one is to be glued to your seat or to be glued to your screen. So glue, of course, is a sticky substance that sticks things together. So if you are glued to your seat or your screen, it means that you're unable to move from your seat or you're unable to stop watching something. For example, I was glued to my seat during the movie. Or she is glued to her screen playing video games all day. To be glued to your seat or screen. Next, to be dialed in. So if you are dialed in, it means that you're very concentrated and you're paying close attention. You're working hard and focusing. For example, she's dialed in during class, always listening to the teacher. Or being dialed in means you're focused and not distracted. To be dialed in. Next, to push through. So to push through means to keep going, even when things get difficult. For example, even though he was tired, he pushed through and finished the marathon. Or she had to go through 5 interviews at the company, but she was happy that she pushed through because she got the job. To push through. The next one, to have your confidence struck. So if you have your confidence struck, it means that you feel less sure of yourself. It means that something has happened to hurt your confidence. For example, after the test, his confidence was struck. Or her confidence was struck after she received difficult feedback on her presentation. To have your confidence struck. And the last one is to click. So, of course, to click is a noise. For example, when you put on your seatbelt, it makes a click sound. In today's story, Tiffany uses it to mean to understand something suddenly. For example, after studying for a while, it clicked and I understood the math problem. Or it clicked in my mind how to solve the puzzle. To click. Now, there is so much fantastic vocabulary in Tiffany's story, so head on over to intothestorypodcast.com to get the extended vocabulary list. You also have the transcript and a listening comprehension quiz. Okay, it's that time. Let's get into the story. Tiffany Claiborne was born in Arizona, in the southwestern United States, known for its desert landscapes and the Grand Canyon. She is the youngest of two girls and was born into a Christian family. She was raised with two very strong values. The first was that her relationship with God would be the foundation of her life. And the second...
If you're a Claiborne, my last name is Claiborne, you are going to give 110%.
At a young age, both Tiffany and her sister were talented artists. She was especially good at drawing. And then, when she was six, the family moved from Arizona to Maryland, about 4,000 kilometers away. It was a big transition for a six-year-old, and she remembers the first day at her new school.
It's very clear in my mind. I was sitting at my desk, and the teacher was talking, and we were all just sitting, and I just started drawing, which was my habit. And I remember all of my classmates were saying, wow, hey, the new girl, Tiffany, she can draw really well. So I became the artist of the class. Art was my thing, and I've also been an athlete my entire life.
Apart from being an artist and an athlete, Tiffany was also at the top of her class, getting the highest grades among her peers.
So when I got to high school, this was in the late 90s. When I was in high school, I was trying to figure out, okay, when I go to college, what do I want to study and what do I want to become? And I knew I was good at art. I knew I enjoyed learning. I was smart. And my father worked at IBM with computers. And at that time, computers were just starting to get really mainstream, right? Some people had computers at home, some people didn't. So I thought to myself, okay, I can combine computers and art. And what is that? Web design.
Tiffany studied computer science and commercial art. And then she got an internship at NASA. She impressed them with her skills and was hired as a web designer.
And I have only fond memories of the people I worked with. The environment was it was relaxed. We worked hard, but we also enjoyed spending time together. So my boss, everyone was calm. And I think it was because you had people that were the best. Now, there were moments when you had to just be glued to your seat and glued to your screen to get the job done. So it was an environment filled with diligent people who were also very kind-hearted. It was a really amazing experience.
And then at a certain point, something changes inside of you and you say, is this my future? Am I going to work at NASA, have a really bright, wonderful career? Or is there something else?
So I mentioned earlier that I am a Christian, and one aspect of Christianity is trying to live your life like Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to the earth for the main purpose of saving human beings. He came to serve. And I remember very clearly, like it was yesterday, like, okay, I'm doing great work here. I have great coworkers, a great boss, but I feel like I could do more. I feel like there are more people I could help. I came back to Maryland because I was in Huntsville, Alabama working. I came back to Maryland and I actually was an artist full-time for about a year and a half. I could paint, I could draw. So I was trying to find the way that I could give back more. So I started actually spending time with homeless people downtown in DC, learning about their lives and what was going on. So I did that, sold pieces, paintings, and it was going okay. But I still felt like this is not exactly what I need to be doing. So some friends of mine had actually served as missionaries in South Korea right after college. And they were missionary English teachers. So they taught English and they also taught the Bible in South Korea. And they had told me that it was a great experience. So I said, one day, I put it kind of in the back of my mind, one day I would like to do that. So in the middle of me doing art full time, that popped into my head. Oh, okay. Maybe I should try missionary work. Again, I was searching for a way to serve. That's been the word that has been the focus for years. Serve. How can I serve more?
Tiffany moved to Seoul in South Korea and started teaching English. And she realizes that she has a talent for teaching and she really enjoys it. Alongside teaching, she's also studying Korean. And then she starts a master's program in oriental painting.
I was painting almost every day, excluding the weekends. We were learning a lot about Chinese art history, Japanese art history, Korean art history. So basically, by the end of that, you'd either be a full-time artist or you could become a professor. The idea I had was, hey, when I go back to America, I'll probably become an art professor. And then I'll train students, you know, in art.
And then there's a big test.
Yeah.
So explain what the stakes are. What are the stakes of this exam?
So this exam, which I initially thought was going to be easy because I was in an art program, and depending on the art program you're in, you can either have a portfolio be your final project where you have to paint a lot, or you can have an exam along with the portfolio. Initially, I thought it was just a portfolio. But when I got to my last year, they're like, oh, no, you have an exam too. And the exam is only offered once every 6 months. So if you don't pass the exam, you have to wait 6 months to take it again. And if you don't pass the exam, you can't graduate. So there was a lot at stake. There were so many things involved in this because I had experienced a loss. While I was living in Korea, my nephew passed away. But I went back to Korea after he passed away. And so I'm away from my family. There's a lot going on at home.
So you're far away from your family. Mm-hmm. Huge thing going on. Mm-hmm. Now take us to exam day.
So this is the hardest thing I've done in my entire life. So the exam included Hanja, which is Chinese characters, Korean art history, Japanese art history, Chinese art history, and everything that I was studying. I was studying in Korean, and I honestly thought I was going to pass the first time until I walked into the room, and there were about maybe 200 students. We all walked in. We only had an hour. It was a very strict time period. We sat down, and then the ding, like the bell went off, and we turned our papers over, and I said, oh, okay. There was a moment of, I'm not sure I know what this says.
Tiffany had always been an exceptionally good student. So sitting in the exam room and not even understanding the questions was a strange experience. Not surprisingly, she didn't pass the exam. So she decided to start studying even harder to write it again in 6 months.
So at this time, my master's degree studies had ended, because I was preparing for the second test. So I was teaching during the day, and every break I had, I was studying, every break. And I'm an early bird. I would get up at 4 a.m., take a shower, have worship, and I would be at Starbucks all day from 5 a.m. to about 11 p.m., or depending on if I was tired, maybe around 7 or 8, depending on the day. But I only studied. So much so that my friend said, Tiff, you don't spend time with us. Like, let's go out to karaoke. I can't. I have to pass this test. So for 6 months, I was dialed in. I was focused. I wanted to pass the test.
So then you go into the exam feeling good, right?
Yes.
You're feeling like, I have put in the work. It's going to go well.
I'm not going to lie. I was nervous. Mm-hmm. I was a bit nervous.
Okay.
But I said, I know I've studied hard. I know I've given it all my all. So I said, let's just go in here with the positive, like being optimistic. But I was nervous. So I get into the room for the second test. And I was more confident for the second test. When I actually finished writing the test, I said, okay, Tiff, you put the time in. You understood the questions on the test. Okay, you're going to be good this time. So I did feel like, okay, the second time, I thought I was going to pass.
And then do you remember getting the results? How did you get results? Did you look them up online? Was there like a piece of paper on a door?
They gave us the results online. And when I found out that I had failed, I was kind of in a daze. But one of my coworkers, we're extremely close. She's Korean. She's a teacher. She walked into the office. I remember like it was yesterday. I didn't realize how much failing that exam had affected me until she walked into the office. And she said, "Hey, Tiff," her name is Catherine. I said, "Hey, Catherine." She said, "How did the test go?" And I literally broke down. We were in the teacher's lounge and it was like waterworks. I was bawling. I've given all that I have. I've given everything I have. I've studied so hard and I failed again. At that moment, I just wanted to give up. And I'm not a person who gives up. So we talked, and in that moment, I decided, okay, I'm gonna try one more time. And in order for me to pass this test, I can't work at the same time. So I actually decided to fly back to America and spend 6 months here in preparation for the test, the third time.
Okay, so you fly back to the States, you're with your family, you're studying probably similar study schedule, but this time just focused on the studying.
It was even more intense.
And then
14-hour days, literally at my desk. Okay. And I had never done that in my entire 6 months is a long time. And it's not easy to go back to school as an adult, right? And then to do it when you're doing it in another language. There's just so many different things added on top of just being an adult and going back and doing it in a different language. So I remember my parents were standing in the kitchen. My mom was cooking. My dad was talking to her. And I walked into the kitchen. I think this might have been the third month out of the 6 months. And I got real quiet. And my parents were like, "What's going on?" And I broke down again. So I had two breakdowns as far as like just crying. And I said, "This is too hard. This is too hard." And so my parents just listened. I really appreciate it. They listened and they said, "Here's the deal. You have a choice. You can decide not to take the test, and that's totally okay. Or you can decide to push yourself and try again." And again, I mentioned earlier that like my family were high achievers. We're also not quitters. And I thought back to growing up when I was like maybe 9 or 10, my mom went back to school to become a respiratory therapist. And I remember clearly waking up at midnight, walking down the steps and seeing my mom sitting at the dining table studying. And so all of these things started coming back to my mind, like, wait a minute. I watched my sister fail exams, trying to become a doctor. It didn't work out. So she kept going, didn't give up, and she became a lawyer. I thought about all these things, like my family pushed through. So after that moment, I went back up and it gave me enough energy for the next 3 months to keep pushing through. I was very nervous about the third exam.
Sometimes this can happen to people, to all of us. I think that when you fail at something, or you literally fail an exam, or you have, you know, a business failure, or something happens in your life, then having to go back and do it again, your confidence is kind of struck, or you feel sometimes you can almost overthink things. Did you worry that you were going to overthink it and cause a third failure, or you were nervous but under control?
Oh no, I was all the way nervous. I was yes. I was all the way nervous.
Okay.
I was trying to give myself a pep talk, like every day, every step I was making, like as I walked towards the room where we were taking the exam. No, it was the least confident I had been in my life, I think.
You walk into the room the third time. What happens?
It's kind of like deja vu, but of a nightmare. Like I walked into the room, I sit down, and I felt myself start to shake a little bit. They put the test paper in front of me. They had it face down. And I heard the ding, which basically let us know that the hour had started. And I turned it over and I read the question and I had no idea what the question was asking. I had no clue. And my entire body started to shake. if anyone had been watching me, it would have been very clear something's not right. I was shaking. There were two questions. I read both of them and I immediately said, God, help me, help me. It was like my brain shut down. I couldn't even understand the Korean words. I didn't know what they were. I didn't understand anything. And for about 5 minutes, I sat there and I said, I failed again. I put my hands out and I said, I failed again. I was praying and God said, look at the test again. Look at the test again. And all of a sudden, something clicked. And I said, okay, I think I understand this question. And my hand just started moving. I wrote for the next 50 minutes like my life depended on it. And then I handed in the test.
And tell us about the day that you got the results.
The day I got the results, I was teaching a class. I had a 6 a.m. class. I think I got a phone call from the university. So already I'm nervous. Like, why are they calling me? Something's wrong. And they just let me know, like, hey, the system has been updated. You can check now for your test. That was the message. I was like, okay. So I remember sitting on my bed shaking because I put literally up at this time a year and a half in preparation for this one test. And I was shaking on my bed. I closed my doors. I had two roommates, but I closed my door. So I sat on my bed. I opened my computer and I logged in. It was the longest login of my life. I logged in and it seemed like it took forever for that little spinning wheel. And so I found my department, then I went to my name, and I went to the test, and I clicked it. And when I saw you passed, it was like, it was a bit unbelievable because it had been so long. And I kind of just sat back, and I was like, man. And I burst into tears, and I immediately called my parents, and I was like, I passed. And of course, they're screaming, they're excited. And I think it's when you go through something, you realize who you are as a person, right? Like, what do you do when things get super difficult? What do you do when it gets hard and you feel like you don't have enough energy to push forward? Are you gonna quit? Are you gonna give up? Or are you gonna pick yourself up and just keep moving forward? Even if it's one step at a time slowly, you can do more than you realize.
While living in Seoul, Tiffany had started sharing English learning videos on YouTube. Over time, these videos began to get more and more popular. And when she saw just how many people she was serving, which was her mission, she decided to focus entirely on helping others learn English. Today, she is the founder of the Speak English with Tiffany Academy, and her YouTube channel has nearly 3 million subscribers. Tiffany has definitely found her why, but her ultimate goal is to help 1 billion English speakers speak English confidently all over the world. To find out more about Tiffany, I will leave you a link in the show notes. Okay, folks, if you would like to join our community and hear me go further into the psychology side of each episode and also speak more personally about the lessons I learn from our storytellers, then you can join our newsletter. Just visit intothestorypodcast.com and click subscribe. It's totally free. Okay, that's all for today. Until the next episode, I hope that you have a good time, or at least a good story to tell.